What I have for you guys today is not so much a thing of basketball, but a different sport. And we tried this last night, and it didn't go so well. So given that we're in church, I'm not going to ask you to lie. I'm just going to ask you to pretend for a moment. Can you do that? Just pretend. How many NASCAR fans do we have in here? Thank you. Awesome. I realized after last night, this is not the South. Not everybody loves NASCAR. So in October 2022, a NASCAR driver named Ross Chastain pulled off the move of a lifetime. He was riding in 10th place with one lap to go, and in order to get into the championship race, he had to pass four cars, including a fifth one, the number 11, driven by Denny Hamlin. And so, knowing that his opportunity to get into the championship was waning very quickly, he did something unimaginable. As he came down the straightaway, heading into turn three and turn four on that very last lap, he kicked his car into fifth gear, he floored it, and he let go of the steering wheel and allowed the wall to steer his car through the turns. He came out of turn four down the final straightaway to the finish line, looking like a rocket going 250 miles an hour, his car smoking. And he did it. He pulled it off. He passed four and the fifth car, Denny Hamlin, just before he hit the finish race or the finish line. It was amazing. Now, since you guys aren't NASCAR fans, that probably doesn't mean much to you. But if you see it, it's incredible. Watch this.
Brandon had been counting me down, and he said something about two spots.
Two spots, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I just couldn't believe what was happening. We're going to be out by 2 points. And I double-checked in the corner, like, we have to?
Gotta get him? Yeah, I gotta get him. Need two.
When he said that off the two, there was no other option.
Bell out of turn four. He's going to do it. Here comes Christopher Bell. He'll score the win.
Never second guessed it once, which is wild.
Wide open around the wall in three and four in Martinsville to race his way into the championship four.
I was in the gas and I'm on the wheel and I'm like trying, but everything's starting to go blurry.
It almost doesn't look real.
The next thing I know, I'm on the straightaway and I run in the six and I look over out the window net and the first real clear thing I saw was the 11.
It's brilliant, right? It is a once-in-a-lifetime, one-in-a-million kind of opportunity. And here's the crazy thing. He set the lap record there at Martinsville for the fastest lap in history. There's no doubt it was dangerous. He pulled over 5 G's going through that turn, nearly passed out. That's why he said everything started to get blurry. It was so dangerous that NASCAR went on to ban the move. They never had to deal with it before. And so they said, you know what, guys, we're going to penalize you if you just ride against the wall wide open. But man, we look at something like that and we go, that is stinking awesome, right? We admire that kind of guts to run all out and to try and win the race. This morning, as we continue our series in Epiphany, we're diving into that idea of Sabbath and rest. And what Sabbath is a time of rest, a moment in which we slow down and even stop. And it's a moment that really God has built into who we are, built into our creation, into the universe itself. If we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2, what we find is that God worked for 6 straight days creating everything that we have here, the whole universe. But then on the 7th day, God rested. And he gave to his people this mandate that you will work 6 days, but on the 7th rest. It's a rest work rhythm. But you might be wondering, how is NASCAR and the Sabbath, like, how does that go together. And I think it boils down to this. It has to do with sanity. Here's what I mean. When Chastain let go of his wheel, floored his car, and drove it into the wall, everyone thought he was crazy. It was an insane move. Who in their right mind would go into a turn at 130 miles an hour when the average speed is usually 70? Now, here's the thing. We live in a world that champions and celebrates that kind of racing. And not just in NASCAR, but we champion and celebrate that kind of living every day in our lives. We run our lives at full speed, don't we? We floor it with a hope that just maybe we can make the turn, or hey, maybe you've got a lot of guts and you are pegging out your engine in life and you are trying to ride along the wall, hoping that just on the other side, you'll find a way to win and come out on top. We live our lives totally on full throttle all the time, but what we fail to recognize sometimes is the law of diminishing return. Have you guys ever heard of this? The law of diminishing return? Basically, it goes like this. The more energy you put into something, typically we think you get more out of it. Well, there comes a point where that doesn't hold true anymore. The more energy you put into it, eventually you start to lose productivity. In NASCAR, it works like this. If you go into a turn at a certain speed, the friction between your tires and the racetrack will hold. You push the gas down a little bit more, the friction will break, and guess what? You're into the wall. Life is no different. There is the law of diminishing return, and the faster you go doesn't always mean you get more out of it. We live in a hurried and busy world. We are constantly on the move, and we have, for whatever reason, come to believe in our heart of hearts that if I am busy, if I am hurried, if I am on the go and doing everything, that I am successful. As a parent, you might recognize this. You can find yourself getting your kids to 42 different sporting events in a single weekend. And you know it's insane, don't you? And yet you do it. I do it. Why? Because somewhere inside of us, we have come to believe that successful parenting looks like driving our kids to 42 different sporting events every weekend. We book our calendars so full, don't we, that we end up double booking or even triple booking ourselves. We work so many hours a week that we have a hard time connecting with the people closest to us. Or we have a hard time just connecting with anyone, period. It's interesting, study after study shows that if we work more than 50 hours, our productivity goes down. If you work more than 55, your productivity drops off a cliff. Now, here's the really interesting thing. A six-day work week equates to just about 50 hours a week. You see, you can run at full speed all the time. And I can promise you, you will be going fast. You will be getting things done. You will be moving and shaking. But I can also promise that eventually, you will discover the law of diminishing return. And maybe you have. Unfortunately, for most of us, we discover it the hard way, don't we? We discover it when we hit a wall. So why do we live like this? Why do we run at an insane pace, hurried all the time? Well, I think it's because we have forgotten and let go of the boundaries that God has put around us. You see, God created our world with a certain order, and we've talked about this before, but let me remind you, when God created everything, he ordered it in a certain way. He said, I am at the top, and then I'm going to create Adam, and Adam, you're going to be made in my image, and you're going to care for your wife, Eve, who's also made in my image. And Eve and Adam together, you're going to care for the creation that I've placed you in. So you're going to be me to all of creation. See, a created order. Now, from the very beginning, this was good until chapter 3 of Genesis, because it gets all flipped upside down. Satan moves into the garden, and he appears first to Eve as what? A serpent. He appears to them as part of creation. And creation then begins to lead Eve astray. And Eve leads Adam astray. And Adam's like, yeah, let's do it. And God is nowhere in their picture. You see, the created order is completely flipped upside down. And this impacts everything in our world, especially our relationships in our relationship with God. In God's created order, not only did he order it on a big scale, but he created each of us in very specific ways. And one of those ways is that he has designed us to need rest. For 6 days, God worked and created everything, and on the seventh, he rested. But it wasn't because he was tired. God doesn't get tired. It wasn't because he needed a break. He doesn't need it. Rather, he was creating for us and modeling for us the rest and work rhythm that he designed into us. We see it in Genesis and in the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy when God gives the command to hold on to the Sabbath, to abide by it, to live by it. He says, look, when you are resting, there's a purpose to it. You just don't get to have a day where you can watch NASCAR or basketball or football. But he says, on the Sabbath, remember that you were slaves and that God brought you out of that slavery. See, the Sabbath is a rest for us, but more importantly, it's a moment for us to abide in God, to remember the salvation that he has given to us, that he has freed us even from our sins. But what happens when the Sabbath gets put into the hands of sinful people is we flip it upside down. What we do is we take what was meant for rest and we turn it into work. We take what was meant to remind us of our freedom and we try to enslave ourselves and others to it. You see, we live these busy and hurried lives because we've flipped God's order and design upside down. We've turned the Sabbath into what we want it to be rather than receiving it for what God has created and designed it to be. And this is why we see Jesus at odds in our Mark reading once again with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, on two separate occasions, these teachers of the Jewish law, attack Jesus and his disciples over the laws and regulations around the Sabbath. The first is because his disciples are picking grain by hand on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees call him out. Now, the irony of all this, if you go back into the Old Testament, there's actually an exception to picking grain on the Sabbath. There's one exception. That is, if you are out and about, you're not at home, and you're in a stranger's field, you are allowed to, by hand, pick the grain. And yet the Pharisees call them out. And the reason why is the Pharisees, they see God's law, but they say, you know what, that's not good enough. We're going to build laws around that for you to obey. And so they lose their minds because the disciples are not breaking God's law, but their law. Now the second incident is actually of greater concern. It's over whether or not a man can be healed on the Sabbath and if that healing constitutes work itself and thus is unlawful. And Jesus, none too happy about either, in the first instance, he comes back to the Pharisees with this. He says, hey, you remember your great hero, King David? Do you know the greatest king over Israel? Yeah. Remember what he did? It's far worse than anything that my disciples are doing right now. Not only did he ignored the Sabbath, but he lied about what he was doing there, and then he ate the consecrated bread that only the priests were meant to eat. But Pharisees, you haven't come down on David, you hypocrites. And Jesus tells them in no uncertain terms, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And he says, so the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. You see, the laws and regulations that the Pharisees have put around the Sabbath not only turned rest into work, but it fundamentally destroyed what God had designed for it. And that's why Jesus gets so angry in the second instance where he gets caught up with the Pharisees. You see, they're in a synagogue on the Sabbath. And there's a man with a shriveled hand, and everybody's waiting to see, will Jesus heal? So they can attack him and say, see, you did work on the Sabbath. And in anger, Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And when no one had an answer, he tells the man to stretch out his hand and he heals it. Because the Sabbath was made to serve man, not the other way around. In this one moment, Jesus reorients the Sabbath entirely. By boldly healing this man, he reminds us that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and that he will define it for us, nobody else, and that he has given us this gracious gift so that we can find rest, so that we can find healing in him. And here's the great news for us. In our insanely busy and fast-paced world, this gift of Sabbath is the one thing that can help us lead a full life and yet maintain our sanity. Are you running life at full throttle right now? Are you crashing into walls? Are you discovering the hard way, the law of diminishing returns? Is it impacting your health or your relationships with your family and friends? Do you constantly feel exhausted chasing after the next thing on your to-do list? And would you love to just live a full life and keep your sanity at the same time? In NASCAR, they have a phrase. It goes like this. You have to slow down to go faster. What they mean is if you're going to go into the turn, you got to let off the gas to make the turn. In life, we have to sometimes let off the gas. And we have to live by the work-rest rhythm that God has created for us. And when we rest, it's to find ourselves in the presence of God, to abide with him, to be in his word, to really rejoice in what he has done for us. And I want to tell you, to find Sabbath rest, it doesn't mean that you got to go out and find more time. What it means is that you have to simplify your life down to what matters most. The Hebrew word Shabbat means to stop, to rest, to slow down. But it can also be translated to delight. And it has this dual idea of stopping and also of joining God in our lives in the world. The Sabbath is an entire day set aside to follow God's example, to stop and to delight in him and in his creation. Now, if you're like me and most of us in this room, you've been running life at full throttle. You've been slamming into walls. You've been wondering what's going on. And I want to tell you, it's time to let off the gas, to slow down and embrace the Sabbath rest that God has created us to have. Now, I know it's really hard when you look at your calendar to go, okay, so I've got to carve a whole day out this week just for the Lord. Yeah, it's really hard. But that's why we want to start this morning, to give you a moment, an opportunity. If you've been slamming into walls and running full throttle, we want you to let off the gas right here and right now. We want you to slow down and rest, abide in him, and delight in him.